Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, October 1st, 271st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the insurance doctor, Mr. Steve Justice.
Hey, well, thank you.
How's your day gone so far?
Oh, yes. It's a lovely day. the sun's out.
Yes.
We expect it to be a lot busier, but since the brand new Covered California website isn't working, it's actually been pretty calm.
Imagine that. So we'll talk about the first day of Obamacare, some of the things that are going on, some of the information that Steve has compiled in anticipation of what does this mean for who and how and all that kind of stuff. Kind of do a primer course, I guess.
A primer course.
Yes. Or if you prefer, Cliff Notes. But his name's not Cliff, so it really doesn't make too much sense said that way. But we'll still figure it out when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Steve Justice. But before we do, our quote this afternoon is a German proverb rather than a quote. You can't hatch chickens from fried eggs.
Yeah, that actually will change my life.
I thought that it had an opportunity there to kind of be one of those epiphanies.
Yeah, an epiphany.
That might serve you well.
Yes,
in the future.
It's iconical.
Speaking of changes, life changes, what is the current status? What do you know? What was today like nationally with the registration for the Obamacare?
Oh, you know, I have no idea how that's going nationally. I mean, it's we're talking about such a major national transition and such a varied approach throughout the 50 states that it's hard to really keep a finger on it. I mean, when the federal government, they've been telling us things for a long time now about how this is going to work and what's going on. But when they make a statement, it doesn't necessarily apply to us. In fact, most often it does not apply to California at all.
Because of the exchange that we're in?
Well, there are different ways for states to run their own exchange or to let the feds come in and force an exchange on them. And there are some other things that they could do. But even within building your own exchange, the states had the wherewithal to choose for this limit rather than that limit and to tweak this a little bit or that a little bit. So whatever you hear nationally, you really need to refine it with regards to what's going on in California itself.
Unless you live in Oregon.
Well, yes, unless you move out of the state. Yeah,
Brian. Well, never forget the power of KINS.
Ah, yes, yes, that's true. All right.
So basic terminology. What are the areas of most confusion for most people trying to get their hands around this nebulous little ball of mercury that's rolling around on the table?
You know, that's a very good question. So let me just put some people at ease by saying that if you have group health insurance now, in fact, if you have health insurance now, if you have military insurance, TRICARE, anything like that, if you're insured through unions, if you work for a school district and they have insurance, and if you have Medicare now, you don't have to do anything right now. You've got insurance. You're compliant with the law. Things will change for you somewhat at the beginning of the year, but you know, your employers will let you know exactly what's happening and what you have to do. And Medicare people, we just don't have to worry about it at all. They'll come and get us later, maybe, but there's nothing we have to do for January the 1st.
So the big push right now for the registration is for those who currently have no health care?
Yes, and they come in a lot of different packages, actually. People who don't have health care perhaps really can't afford the health care they have. A lot of people haven't been able to buy health care for years because they've had some kind of medical ailments, this or that. I mean, we go through different underwriting cycles, but sometimes it's very hard to get people insured, sometimes not quite as hard. But people have literally been left out in the cold or spending way too much of their income on health care. It's a hard situation. So with regards to that, I'm very happy to see all of a sudden we have the rules changed so that everybody gets in, everybody can play. Now it's just a matter of whether or not, you know, who will play and who won't play.
So that sounds like it's the pre-existing in older folks.
Well, those
the
are
more mature folks.
Well, yes, very possibly those who are in between jobs or got sick, had to leave their employment, have some kind of condition. They couldn't get insurance. We've run through all these state programs, through COBRA, everything else. It's become almost impossible for them. We had people starting small businesses and putting their spouse on the payroll just so we could get group insurance. I hate to admit it. Don't pick me up, Merle. But, I mean, we've had to be very creative in order to take care of people through all of these years.
So at the other end of the age spectrum, you've got the high school kids that are emancipated. You've got the college kids that may or may not be under their folks plan, or those who are just young, healthy, and immortal that don't have and have no interest in.
And are probably not going to sign up for this either.
Do they need to?
Yes. Everybody's got to have health insurance. I mean, that's what the law says. Everybody will have health insurance. Now, I mean, is that practical to make a statement like that? I mean, is that enforceable? No. I mean, there are fines if you don't have health insurance, and they'll be taken on your taxes. But, I mean, if you're young, you don't make any money and don't pay taxes, I mean, I don't see how that's going to be a big concern. So there are a lot of young people that aren't going to bother to sign up. I mean, the government has gone so far as, or the crafts people that have crafted all of these ACA rules, Affordable Care Act rules, to allow young people to take the least coverage possible that they offer, which is the lowest of the low bronze plans, to make it cheap. So they have some kind of high-end coverage so that there's something to take care of them when they crash their snowboard or their car or fall off a rock. But, you know, you can't make them register.
Healthcare providers, obviously this has changed the playing field for them as well. When you or I go to the doctor, you or I go to the specialist, to the hospital, how does this change for them?
Well, they're still going to be contracted, and it really depends on how they are organized now as a sole practitioner or partners, or are they part of the Humboldt Medical Specialist, something like that, connected with the hospital, et cetera. Let me just say that it looks to me as if the government has mined the playing field and the doctors are supposed to do some broken field running through it. It looks very, very hard for them. I have a lot of compassion for our providers.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with 6 treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late Spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Steve Justice. This afternoon we were trying to explain a little bit in a very base level about Obamacare. If you haven't had the opportunity to sit down with an insurance agent yet, either individually or in your business, to kind of grasp what this thing is. Steve, how does it happen? Let's say I'm somebody who needs. So I come up, I knock on the door and say, hi, I understand I'm supposed to sign up for something. What happens then?
Well, whose door are you at?
Yours.
Brian's? If you're at my door?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then
Or insurance broker.
Yeah, any insurance broker. Yeah. If you're talking about a broker or agent. I mean, it's a good time to mention that there's a different ways that the systems or these products, so to speak, the insurance is being delivered in terms of enrolling for it. And that is through directly. You can go online to Covered California, coveredca.com, and
not
enroll
CYA?
Directly. No, coveredca.com.
Now, it's in your mind, though.
Yes,
it will
is
be
now.
There. It will be there.
And
good.
You can enroll directly. You can go to an enrollment assister. They're around. There are call centers. You can call them. They can. They've been trained to help you through the website. There are navigators. There are grants out there, grantees. Humboldt Open Door Clinic, Herman, who's done such a good job for this community with everything open door clinic-wise. Herman got quite a nice grant to help people. And then there's your insurance agent. Now, here's the difference, and I'll just put this plug in here for insurance agents. I mean, certainly we have required to have more education to carry errors and omissions insurance should we really foul things up. But you know what? When we take you through this process, you come in, sit down, Brian, I ask you for financials, because if you have any intention of going to the health insurance exchange, it's likely going to be because you think you're going to get a subsidy of some sort, a premium subsidy, that you'll get your premium lowered, which means that the state is going to pick up part of that. So we're going to have to know all about your income, your earned income as well as unearned, passive income, rentals, all of that stuff. We'll have to know that, and then Social Security numbers, this or that. With regard to medical questions, there really won't be any. They're going to ask you how much you use this or that in a little bit of way, trying to determine how to guide you to a plan, that kind of thing. No pre-existing conditions, no medical questions. But if you come to an agent, you then become part of our clientele, and we look out after you throughout the year. You see, if you get help with an enrollment assister, God bless them. They're going to provide a very, very good service to people out here. But they're certainly not going to have a clientele like that, that they're going to help with claims and this and that with insurance companies throughout the year. For us, it's business as usual with regards to that.
So we have our meeting. Whatever is filled out is filled out. Then what happens?
Well, the first thing you do is ask how much it's going to cost if you're going to use an agent. That's going to be on your mind.
Well, I mean,
why would you come to me if you could get somebody to do this for free?
I figure it's like a real estate agent, a travel agent, or anybody else, that you guys do this stuff often enough, and it gives me a safety net if there's a foul up.
It gives you all of that.
I call and say, hey.
That's right.
Help me out.
No, that's right. But the real point here is that it costs you nothing extra. You could do it yourself.
Me as an individual.
Cost you no more.
All the options are the same.
All the options are the same. Cost you nothing extra. We're part of the delivery system. That's
so why wouldn't someone want to use? Why would anybody want to do it on their own?
Because they don't like insurance agents, I suppose, Brian.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't understand
that.
That
is
certainly
a valid reason.
As charming as we are,
yeah.
You would think that people would be flocking to us. And indeed, we expect that's what's going to happen. Most people. Look, young people perhaps are used to going to the net by themselves. They might want to do their own applications. People that haven't been, say, in the mainstream of business, taking care of things, might go to an assister because they don't understand what it means to deal with an insurance agent's with their financial needs, et cetera. But most people who are used to the way we do things out here, they're going to come to us for help, certainly. There would be no reason not to, frankly.
For dependents.
Yes.
Stefan's in college, but
yes.
he's certainly of majority age.
That's my godson you're talking
yes,
about?
Yes, your godson. Yes. Does he then go to you, or is he covered under ours?
Up to the age of 26, he can be
so
on
the
yours.
So the 26 is
yes,
still in effect.
As long as he's in school, dependent, you're claiming him as a dependent, yes, he can be part of your policy and would. So if you're interested in the exchange, look, I mean, basically... the state has adopted in this Covered California or the insurance marketplace, which is the new terminology, the notion that it is no wrong door. There's no wrong door. It's called the no wrong door approach, which simply means that regardless of your income, wherever you are with things, if you need insurance, you come in, we're going to fill out the application. Then it will be determined whether or not you get Medi-Cal, you get a subsidy in the exchange, or you're paying the bill yourself in the exchange or off exchange in the private market. So the federal poverty level is $11,000 and change, and that's for one person, and that's an annual income. Believe me, that is
a gross, yeah.
Well, yeah, with 11,000 gross. I mean, I can't imagine there being a net. But anyway, so up to 138% of that figure, which is roughly $46,000, an individual below that, no, I'm sorry, up to 138% of that figure, which is about $15,000, an individual will be on Medi-Cal. So we'll make out the application. They'll be put on Medi-Cal. It'll get sent back to the county. But it's going to be a different kind of insurance that people on Medi-Cal are used to, so we're told. But from 138% for an individual all the way up to, you're doing this thing with your fingers.
That's called a commercial break.
It is, isn't it? Yes.
So we'll be back and we'll continue.
We'll do that then.
And go slow so we can recapture where we were.
All right. Good enough.
Are you thinking about opening or expanding your business in McKinleyville? Come see what the McKinleyville Shopping Center has to offer. We're holding an open house for prospective tenants this Wednesday, October 2nd from 4 to 7 p.m. We have great lease rates and incentives. Benefit from the foot traffic generated by quality businesses like Safeway, Ramon's Bakery, Subway, and Napa Auto Parts. Call us at 268-1800 with any questions or visit McKinleyvilleShoppingCenter.com. Come join us this Wednesday from 4 to 7.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Steve Justice. Steve, before the break, kind of nailed you between the eyes there. We were starting to go through the income strata of who gets what in what directions as we go through all of the open doors that Obamacare is trying to suggest we should do.
So, again, if you come to the exchange... because you think you're eligible for a premium subsidy, if you are an individual person, between up to 138% of the federal poverty level, which is $15,000 and change, you're going to be put on Medi-Cal. From that figure up to up 400% of the FPL, which is just somewhere around $46,000 and change annually, you're going to receive some kind of subsidy. All right. Now, that's counting all of your income. You receive some kind of subsidy. Now, that figure is graded, of course, with the number of members in your household. So, actually, you can have a household of four people and still receive some subsidy somewhere just under $92,000 of annual income. Yes, I see your
Seems
eyes getting
Seems a little
big
curious,
here.
But okay.
Yeah. That's the way it works.
You don't normally think of subsidies at that level of income.
Well, I don't know, but, but it's true. I mean... we recognize that things are expensive, but for really lower income people, $25,000 a year. Now, you know, in urban areas, a lot of people are kind of snickering and saying, well, nobody makes that little. I mean, well, they haven't lived in Humboldt County. I can promise you there are a lot of people that are going to be impacted by this. People choose to live here and choose to live on very little money for the privilege of living here. So a lot of folks are going to be eligible for some kind of subsidy. And the benefits themselves are on a sliding scale. So the less money you make, perhaps you have a lower deductible, you have lower copays, you have better prescription copays, your out-of-pocket's lower.
So the front end will be lower down.
Everything. That's right. So those are called the silver plans. That's where they're going to direct people in these metal tier plans of bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. The subsidy, people with subsidies are going to be put into a silver plan, usually. They can get a bronze, but usually into the silver, and that'll be on a sliding scale with benefits as well. So that's the way that works, and I would say, just offhand now, if you make an excess of 400% of the federal poverty level, you're going to pay for your own insurance. And if you're going to pay for your own insurance, there's really no need to go to the insurance marketplace or the exchange or whatever we call it. We expect that the provider networks within the exchange are going to be narrower than the provider networks in off-exchange business or in the private marketplace.
You had mentioned earlier that if you are in the employ of someone who provides health care now, don't worry about it, nothing's going to change. With the 92,000 household income, I seem to recall teachers, two teachers who are, let's say, they've been employed for a number of years, so they're towards the top end of the pay scale. Wage, not the benefit package, would kick them over $100,000. Does that mean that they stay with their current situation, no change? Or because their household income is in excess of that $92,000, regardless of what their contract may say, does that get trumped by this approach?
I have no idea what you said.
Two teachers earning over $100,000 combined.
Okay, we got two teachers. Let me just sort this out.
Do they still have their insurance plan?
Yeah, they have their insurance plan.
Nothing changes.
Well, nothing changes.
So where does the $92,000 come into play then?
If you are a private citizen who are coming to the exchange and hoping for a subsidy, you may get a subsidy if you make up to $92,000 a year with four people in your household.
Okay, so if you need coverage.
Yes, if you need coverage. Only if you need coverage.
Okay.
I mean, if you have coverage elsewhere, it's in place. Now, something's going to – we got a question during the break, if I may, Brian. Is that okay? Somebody called in to say that they had –
Why, sure, Steve.
Why, thank you, Brian.
And this was not a setup. This was
a
legit call.
No, no, this is somebody – this is a great question. I bet there's a lot of you out there with this one. They said private pay insurance. They have – which we would call an individual policy. It's with Anthem. This person received a notice of that they're going to get a different plan, that at the end of this year, their plan will be mapped, that's Anthem language, into a new plan, unless they choose to do something else before that time, and that the premium is going to double. And I think the question here is, why? Why me, Lord? Why? Well, I'll tell you what, the Affordable Care Act requires that plans have different components in them now, including certain kinds of coverages for the essential health care benefits that are mandated. They require that prescription drugs be included in the maximum out of pocket during the year. All of these plans are going to have to go through a transition. So Anthem, as well as the other carriers, are not going to be able to keep these same plans. They're going to change somewhat. Why are the premiums going up?
Because you're probably getting the goodies that you aren't now.
Well, yes, and because it's the Affordable Care Act. I mean, I really don't know how to answer that. If you're paying your own premium and not eligible for a subsidy, you're going to get some sticker shock. I hate to tell everybody this, but it's a sad fact. And businesses, look out. We're going to have to do a lot of planning in the next year to make sure that businesses can handle some of these transitions. Somebody's got to pay the bill.
Well, and that was... I think some of the early question was if those who are not needing health insurance on a regular basis, you know, excluding maternity, the younger folks, if they're not stepping up to the plate and participating and not realizing much benefit from it, then those at the other end of the spectrum who are enrolled, who are paying whatever they are, but they're using a higher percentage of services... Surprise. that this thing doesn't really have a chance to succeed.
Well,
is that a realistic, simple
overview? Well, that's realistic
overview?
Enough. I mean, here's a couple of facts. Something like 60% of our health care is used in the last year of our life by senior citizens. Another fact that traditionally the cost for somebody between 60 and 64 cost six times as much in premium each month than the cost of somebody between 20 and 24. The Affordable Care Act has said that spread can be no more than 3-1, which means there's a little bit of relief to older people, but young people are getting their premium spiked. So now if they wouldn't buy it before, I don't know how we're going to get them to buy it now, except most of them are going to be eligible for a subsidy. The problem simply is right now they pay nothing and they're immortal. With the subsidy, they'll still have to pay something. However, they're still immortal, and they just aren't going to come and register. I don't expect it. Prove me wrong, young people. Prove me wrong.
It would be interesting also to see the various demographics of certain states. Florida, probably not going to have as many young folks as some other states. Okay, I mean, we pick one of the Dakotas. You know, they seem to be an attraction right now for the IT industry. So I could see how one state might be able to pencil it out.
Yeah.
Another state may never be able to.
Well, I don't know, Brian. I can tell you, I think most businesses know now that whether or not they offer health insurance, everybody's going to start paying about a 3.8% load on some kind of standard average premium to support the individual exchange. So small businesses are going to pay this load to support the individual exchange. And of course, since the pay-or-play provision got pushed forward a year, there's all of these fines, et cetera, that we're going to be missing. Now, this exchange, the California Exchange, all the rest of them, are supposed to be solvent, paying for themselves by the end of year 2014.
Next year?
Well, that would be the end of 2014.
Yeah. So yes. Within the first 12 months.
Are supposed to be paying for themselves.
Say, won't that be interesting to follow? KINS, News and Information Times, 344. We'll be back with more from Steve Justice.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
For it, they don't cost anything.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 347. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Steve Justice about day one.
Day one of the rest of our lives.
Yeah. I understand that a lot of the websites crashed or got overwhelmed or whatever.
I have no idea. I couldn't get them
to load. You couldn't get on, yeah.
I couldn't get on. I have a feeling that they're just overwhelmed.
Well, but, and I got four or five things that said, federal government shut down, our website doesn't work, our doors are closed. But this, I think one of the things about this that's curious is that it's a state thing. Well, even though we reference it as a federal thing.
No, it's not. Well, the Affordable Care Act is a federal law mandating that states step up to the plate in one way or another. The state of California has done it as Covered California, or now the Insurance Marketplace, the new name. But it's the state, and the state says that the funding's in place, and they have opened today. It's just that I think they're overwhelmed.
So what about things that are states' rights-based? Damien had commented during the break about the medicinal marijuana or recreational marijuana. Okay, recreational isn't going to come under it, but medicinal, I would think, would fall under the auspices of this health care.
We're not paying for it, Brian. No, I mean,
are we subsidizing it, though? That's what I want to know.
No, I don't believe so. I don't see any provision that it would be covered under pharmaceutics.
Okay, then let's step back. An easier one.
Okay.
How about birth control?
Yes, that's covered. That's been covered in your insurance plans for a very long time.
So why wouldn't the other?
Well, actually, I think it's the opposite of birth control, the other. I mean, I don't think they are equivalent, Brian.
Not related?
No, not related.
Okay.
If the argument is made that there is a widespread need for the medicinal qualities of certain herbs, then they may be considered pharmaceutics. And at some point, you wouldn't be smoking it, I would bet. It'd be in some kind of pill form or this or that. Now, there is a place, incidentally, for cannabis for people who are in extreme amount of pain. Absolutely. And I have no problem with that if people are in a lot of
pain. But is it covered under this?
As a palliative measure? No. I've not ever seen anything with regard to cannabis or any of its derivatives in a prescription formulary.
Thanks for coming by.
You're welcome.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Steve Justice. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.